Hello and thank you for joining us for episode 11 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Harrison Ownby.
And I'm Alex Stewart.
And this episode covers the most exclusive and mysterious restaurant in Disneyland, Club 33.
For all of you who don't know what Club 33 is, it's the absolute fanciest, most exclusive restaurant in the resort. This is the place where Disney truly spares no expense.
It's a club for the world's elite.
Finally!
I know! Those poor elite people with no other elite people to talk to. Well, no more! If you're John Lasseter, Tom Hanks, or Jack Nicholson, you can finally have a place to relax in the park without being hassled by your adoring public. Which, by the way, if you see a celebrity, the club rules dictate that you be polite and don't disturb them.
Harry, have you told our listeners what Club 33 is?
Well, the first thing I heard about Club 33 was this. You can buy alcohol in exactly one place in Disneyland, but it's incredibly difficult and expensive to get in. And sure enough, Club 33 not only serves alcohol, they serve world-renowned cuisine and desserts. Located on the second level of New Orleans Square near the Court of Angels, this is truly the creme de la creme of Disney dining. Now, Club 33 isn't technically a restaurant, it's a club, which means you have to pay membership dues to enter.
So how much does Club 33 membership cost? Because not to brag, but I'm a Costco member and I'm doing okay.
I know, I felt pretty high rolling when I ponied up for an Amazon Prime membership. But listeners, a Club 33 membership costs $10,000 annually.
That was me spitting out my traditional podcast orange juice that I drink.
Al did a spit take. Al and I are both not used to seeing amounts of money with a comma in it.
What's that little... I think you've got a mark on your paper there.
Yeah, let me smudge that off. And the $10,000 is an annual fee to maintain your membership. So to start, you have to pay an initiation fee of $25,000.
Sorry, I just did it again. I need to stop drinking while I'm listening to this episode. So a membership is as expensive as buying a car.
Exactly. But it's not that easy. There are only a few hundred memberships available, and sometimes it takes over a decade for a membership slot to open. And even when it does, there's a very long wait list. So it's not just money, it's luck. Many members inherit the membership because once you get it, you hold onto it as long as you can. It's not something you drop out of and then expect to become a member again next year. Oh, snap, I should also tell you that there are two different levels of membership, Platinum and Executive. An executive membership requires a $40,000 initiation fee and a $20,000 annual fee. This pricing bracket is used by corporations as a perk for their executives and can be transferred between people who work at the company, unlike a platinum membership, which is completely non-transferable. And I was thinking, like, if I were an exec, I guess I'd rather take the $20,000 in cash. But for these execs and what they're paid, $20,000 in cash as a bonus isn't even interesting.
No matter what kind of executive, if I was making $12 billion a day, I would still want a membership to Club 33. That's just me.
Yeah, I would too. I started to think about it. The reason they do that is because rich people aren't really interested in more money. They're interested in something interesting, you know? So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We don't know what that feeling's like.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't care about how much it costs. I just want it to be new. And that's definitely what Club 33 provides for its people.
Well, the crazy thing is these membership fees don't even include the cost of the meal, the tip, or anything else in the restaurant. And even with a membership, you're not guaranteed a reservation. But there are some other cool perks of being a Club 33 member. They could ride in the Lily Bell, which is the caboose of the Disneyland Railroad, as decorated by Lily and Disney.
Club 33 members can ride in the wheelhouse of the Mark Twain Riverboat, which gives you a great view of the park.
There's also another private lounge called 1901 in Disney's California Adventure, and you're entitled to access that if you're a Club 33 member. From what I hear, 1901 is a really swanky place. Also, I do have to interject that while I worked at the park, I know that I talk about that too much, but it was just so magical.
No, I don't think you do. I think it's always interesting.
Well, when I was working at the park, the way Disneyland works is it's called being landlocked. So if you're an attractions host in, say, Adventureland, you also have Main Street, and the attractions on Main Street are lumped in with Adventureland, and Frontierland is also lumped in. So it's Adventure, Frontier, and Main Street are the three areas where you're able to get signed off as a cast member. And the same thing exists in places like New Orleans Square. With New Orleans Square, if you're signed off there, you can also work in attractions in Critter Country. This hasn't always been the case, and they tend to flip-flop, going landlocked and not. So in like 7 years with this podcast, if people are still listening to this episode, that might not be the case. But anyway, the reason why I say all this is I had some friends who were working on the steam trains, and whenever we were having fun in the park hanging out, we would always take a stop off at the steam trains because our friends would hook us up with private cruises in the Lily Bell. So, you know,
I was on one of those.
And it was awesome, isn't it?
So awesome. Unbelievable. I mean, it was so much fun. I'm never going to forget. I rode in it one time, but I just remember everything about it, like the little gas lantern type thing and the tables and like the draperies. It was so neat. And to see, to be looking out on the park while you're moving in this train, it's a really like antique-y cool feeling that I haven't experienced anywhere else.
I think it's like one of the most one-of-a-kind experiences that you can have at Disneyland, personally.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So anyway, that's just another story from the backside of Disneyland. Oh, that's a new podcast we should come up with.
Talking about the infrastructure of the park behind the scenes. Now here is Lot 17.
No, just talking about Disneyland's rump.
Oh,
hey, that's a nice backside.
Oh my! Oh wow, that got racy. Wasn't expecting that.
So speaking of really swanky places, Club 19 or not Club 1901. Back to music.
What is going on?
I don't know.
Alice finally comes out as schizophrenic on this podcast.
I was trying to seem like Max Headroom, that cool CGI head from the 1980s.
What? Maybe you're turning into like the Beautiful Mind guy. Think about it, Al. They never get old. They never get old.
They're my bestest friends. So, 1901. It's a really swanky place.
Have a good night, folks.
Thank you, and see you later.
Anyway, as a Club 33 member, you never have to purchase a ticket or pass to enter the resort. So why is that better than an annual pass? Well, you don't have to deal with parking because you get free valet parking at Disney's Grand Californian. You also get 6 free fast passes every day, and you get behind-the-scenes tours of the attractions when tours are available.
That would be an incredible way to experience the park. I think my goal for retirement is to save up enough to be a Club 33 member and then just be a Disneyland rat. Even if it just lasted a year, it would be incredible.
From what I understand, Disney treats you like absolute royalty when you're a member. I read a Reddit AMA of a Club 33 member, and he said he got free upgrades to deluxe suites on Disney cruises, too. Sounds really nice. I'm happy for him and not even a little bit jealous.
Don't get too down on yourself, bud. I mean, you still have that Amazon Prime membership.
Thanks for reminding me of that, dude. Do Club 33 members get free 2-day shipping on select items? I didn't think so.
So, now that you know a little bit about what Club 33 is, we're going to tell you about the history of the place and then discuss its current state after its extensive remodel in 2014.
Okay, so in the mid-60s, Walt had a problem. He needed a space to entertain Disney elite, such as corporate sponsors and, well, corporate sponsors. He decided that the best place for this restaurant was right by the luxury apartment that he was building that is now the Disneyland Dream Suite. Walt helped design the restaurant, but unfortunately he passed away in December 1966, just 6 months shy of the restaurant's grand opening in May 1967. Initially, the club was available only to corporate sponsors, but they soon opened slots for individual members who sort of became corporate sponsors because of the cost of membership.
Wait, Harry, why is it called Club 33? Is it because of the address?
That's the official Disney story. The restaurant's address is 33 Royal Street. But there's a rumor that the club is named after the 33 corporate sponsors, or lessees, that funded Disneyland between 1966 and 1967. We discussed the lessee situation more in depth in our Blue Bayou episode, so listen to that if you want more. Some conspiracy theory buffs, this cracked me up, say that the club is named after the highest degree of Freemasonry. But Walt Disney was never a Freemason. Also, those people believe that Nicolas Cage found a city of gold based on the back of a dollar bill.
Which is true. It's documented in the documentary, National Treasure. Maybe you've seen it.
Maybe you've tried to steal the Constitution a couple times to get your share of the treasure. I don't know. No judgment.
Well, the funny thing is, I personally think the highest degree of Freemasonry is probably easier to get into than this club. Okay, let's talk about the retro dining experience, starting with the entrance. Now, the original entrance is still in existence in Disneyland, but it's no longer used. As you enter the Blue Bayou, you might notice a nondescript green door to your right with a mirrored plaque that reads 33. This green door was the original entrance to Club 33. That 33 logo has also been retired.
The door's greenish-gray color was developed by Imagineers as the exact color that least attracts the human eye. They call the color no-see-um green or go-away green, and many backstage buildings, fences, and things like that are painted this color. And I have to admit, I looked right past the door my first several visits to the park. I don't think that Disneyland isn't in your head with color psychology, because they are.
They totally are. So by this door, you'd press a button to speak to a cast member through a speaker. You'd say your name, and if you indeed had made a reservation, the door would be opened. This setup is reminiscent of an old-timey speakeasy. Walt himself had personally experienced a few speakeasies in his day. Prohibition ended on December 5th, 1933, which was coincidentally Walt's 32nd birthday.
I hope he celebrated in style. This period in Walt's life was right after he won an Academy Award for creating Mickey Mouse and right before he started development on Snow White. Lillian Disney was very pregnant with Diane Marie Disney, who would be born December 18th, 1933. Anyway, we're jumping all over times here, so let's get back to the 1967 version of Club 33. If the cast member opened the front door, you'd walk into a smaller, red, Napoleonic-themed room that was decorated by Lillian Disney. And just like today, curious onlookers would try to peer into the mysterious room behind the door. The door would close, and a cast member behind the desk would phone upstairs and tell the servers that you've arrived. As you looked around the room, you'd notice a beautiful French lift encased in bronze, black metal, and glass. This elevator was spotted by Walt and Lillian as they wandered into an old hotel in New Orleans' French Quarter. Maybe the hotel was in Paris. There were conflicting stories on the internet. Imagine that. Anyway, Walt asked the owner if they could buy the elevator, but the owner refused to sell it.
So Walt asked if he could take the exact measurements of the lift to recreate it. The owner agreed, and Walt built an exact replica of the elevator, right down to the cable and weight mechanism in Club 33. This elevator was the centerpiece of the room, but it was accented by a dark wood spiral staircase that circled around it. Whichever way you decided to get upstairs, when you'd reach the second level, you'd see a room ahead of you and a hallway to your left.
The room ahead of you was called the Trophy Room, and it unfortunately no longer exists. It had the ambiance of a British men's club, with natural oak tables and chairs, wood paneling, and various trophies mounted on the wall. It sounds like a very 1960s kind of room. It was a very masculine room. Sounds like a room that you'd see in, like, Mad Men. The wall decoration centerpiece was a large ivory mammoth tusk. This was a genuine fossil from the Ice Age. I can't help but wonder where that thing is now. But below the tusk, on either side, hung two wooden clubs. These were Fijian war clubs, a deadly weapon of the South Sea Islanders. They looked so fearsome that George Lucas stylized the clubs of the Tusken Raiders after this weapon. Now, I don't know if those specific Fijian war clubs inspired George Lucas, but you never know.
Hey, I like this restaurant and I like those clubs. I'm writing this new feature about star battles. I think I'm gonna do something with those clubs.
There's 33 of them. Oh, wait. I'm a little confused.
So the trophy room the trophy room also featured animatronics. There was a wise old owl that could address people in your party by name, which was absolutely jaw-dropping in the late 1960s. There was also a talking vulture, but I'm not sure if that was in the trophy room or not. Anyway, Walt wanted the vulture to be able to join in on conversations to surprise and delight guests, so the original chandeliers in Club 33 had microphones hidden in their base to secretly listen to table conversations. He abandoned this idea when he realized that some guests would be conducting private business discussions, so the microphones were never operational. If you left the trophy room and went down the hallway, you would find the main dining area on your right. As you walked into the main dining area, you'd pass the bar area first. The bar was red, burgundy, and gold, set against a yellow parchment-colored wallpaper with brown floral designs. Across from the bar was a green harpsichord that was custom-built for Lily and Disney for use in the club. This harpsichord is in the reception area of the club today and has been played by Elton John, Paul McCartney, and my second cousin Louie. You can spot it by the elaborate painting of New Orleans Harbor on the inside of its lid.
For 27 years, the head bartender, Lee Williams, also known as Dr. Lee, delighted guests with his legendary knowledge of drinks, smooth social skills, and world-class mixology. He retired in 2007, but he was a staple of the club from the early 80s to the late 2000s.
I never actually had a relative who went to Club 33. That's been eating at me for the last 7 seconds. Folks, I lied. It was only Elton John and Paul McCartney. I'm sorry.
I guess they'll let you play that harpsichord if you ask, though. I see some YouTube videos of just people goofing around on it, which I'm always a little shocked. But I guess if you pay that kind of membership dues, they figure you're an upstanding individual who won't, you know, destroy a harpsichord.
You're rich. You won't destroy this harpsichord. Come on over.
Chauncey, my goodness, you've destroyed the harpsichord.
So, once you passed the bar, you'd see the buffet. To be honest, I was surprised to learn there was a buffet. I thought Club 33 was a sit-down restaurant only. But then, as now, there's a lunch buffet with fine bread, caviar, pâtés, and food along those lines. After you got your food, you'd sit down in the dining room.
The dining room had cream and light gold wallpaper and long, velvety royal blue curtains. Square-backed Roman-style chairs with a red wooden frame and black leather upholstery were parked around tables covered with a crisp white tablecloth. Two walls with windows overlooking the park had an ornate marble fireplace between them. The ceilings and walls were fastened with dark wood, handcrafted molding.
Dude, this place sounds super snazzy.
It definitely was, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But as the 90s and 2000s rolled around, the restaurant relaxed its atmosphere a little bit, along with the moral culture of the society in the 90s, but don't get me started on that. Anyway, guests could wear shorts and t-shirts, and many members were loaning or selling their Club 33 cards to friends who would dine without the member present.
So this upset a lot of long-term members, and I can understand why. I mean, if you're paying $10,000 a year for this membership, it better be classy and exclusive. So Disney kicked out some of its members who were pulling this, reinforced the club's dress code, and remodeled the club in 2014. The old Napoleonic and Roman theming with reds and dark browns has been retired in favor of a brighter atmosphere, the Old South with French influence. They also had to close the grand old French lift as it was no longer up to code, sadly. The trophy room was closed, but the club was expanded to include the Salon Nouveau, a new lounge area.
The Salon Nouveau has a separate menu from the club and doesn't require reservations as it's a lounge/bar with food rather than a dining room per se. The addition of the Salon Nouveau allowed them to add more membership numbers so they could broaden that up a little bit. But the food in this area...
Good to know.
Yeah. The food in this area is inspired by the American South, but it's much less formal than Club 33 dining room food, with entrees like Angus beef sliders or a chicken muffalata. Disney made the entrance to the Salon Nouveau a corridor with a huge wine rack displayed on both walls, ornamented with elaborately carved dark wood. The lounge itself has dimmer lighting than the dining room, with a blue and green stained glass panel in the ceiling. The wood in the ceiling and bar also has an intricate hand-carved look. Music from a self-playing piano fills the lounge.
And the Disney magic is that the piano can stream live concerts from anywhere in the world. So as, say, Elton John plays in London, the piano can remotely play his concert just as he's playing it. That's exactly the kind of technological marvel that Walt would have loved.
The booths around the Salon Nouveau each have a unique theme, such as the Haunted Mansion or the Pirates of the Caribbean. And one booth is the old French lift that was once the centerpiece of the old club. A lot of purists are disappointed that the elevator has been demoted from its formerly grand position. The elevator only has enough room to seat one. But hey, those purists have probably never been on the business end of an elevator inspector from the city of Anaheim.
I'll spare you the personal story, but yes, those Anaheim elevator inspectors aren't a group of people you want to trifle with.
I'm going to start a rumor that you were once asked to leave Disneyland because you got into fisticuffs with an elevator inspector. And here's the juicy part. You said, I quote, "Why, I'll show you a lift, you pompous bureaucrat."
That would be quite a sock dollar. So before we get off track too much, or dare I say, shafted. That was a terrible joke, folks. I'm sorry, Harrison wrote this part, and I have to blame him for that one. And when I say blame, I mean give him an award and credit for it.
There's a lot more coming.
Sorry, let's close the door on these elevator jokes and get our listeners back to the ground floor.
Al, would you say these elevator jokes aren't ringing your bell?
I just don't like how this is going down.
Al, you shouldn't let these jokes push your buttons.
Harry, you're not being uplifting.
We have to stop. Folks, one time on a road trip from Denver to Los Angeles, Al and I wasted several hours making up ocean puns. Do you remember that, Al?
I remember it, and it was awesome. I still think of all the jokes that we came up with, like the only fish that come out at night, starfish.
Yeah, yeah. Something about a sandbar. I don't know. That's interesting, folks.
Where do all those drunk fish lose their sand dollars? At the sandbar.
Yeah, yeah, stuff along those lines. I was about to say we sound like two old men telling a story. Well, there was something about a sandbar, you remember? Well, sure enough.
I'm pretty sure there was a split seed pea soup there that I had. It was delicious. Do you remember that split? Or was it a cream corn soup?
The buffet opened at 3:45 p.m. and I was starving.
I do remember that. I remember that they had the best croutons.
Anyway, let's get back to Club 33.
We haven't told you about where they relocated the entrance. They don't really hide it anymore. It's located across from the Cristal de Orleans, and it's painted the same color of no-see-um green, but they added Art Nouveau flourishes to the door and put two gas lamps on either side of it. You can scan your Club 33 card, and if you want, you can speak to the hostess to confirm your reservation. The door opens and you enter the Court of Angels, which has been closed off to the public and is now a private terrace for club members. Special thanks to our listener, Elisa, and I'm sorry to ruin your last name here, Tapia, for getting in touch with us on Twitter and helping us understand this new setup. Her Twitter handle is @ElisaT, so follow her if you want to see posts about living in Southern California and hanging out at Disneyland.
So the entrance to the restaurant is up the stairs. It's a blue door with a fancy Club 33 mosaic on the ground in front of it. The door opens to a French blue and gold reception area with a grand chandelier. Inside this reception area, you'll see the old vulture from the original trophy room, Club 33 merchandise, and paintings by Disney legends. There's also an elaborately carved walnut table with a marble top. This table is a Club 33 staple and appeared in the 1964 film Mary Poppins. As you're led to the table, you might notice that many of the paintings have to do with the Princess and the Frog. The new Club 33 has a light Princess and the Frog theme.
Which is interesting because I don't think anywhere else in the world has anything themed the Princess and the Frog. And it's only going to...
Has anybody actually seen that movie?
I saw it and it scared me. It's a scary Disney movie.
Is it really?
I think it is. Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't. I forget about it all the time.
Yeah, you should probably see it because it's spooky scary.
Werewolf bar mitzvah.
Okay, so as you walk in, you then see it, Le Grand Salon, the dining room, the eating place of the Disney greats. You don't feel like you're in Southern California anymore. You feel like you're in a French luxury restaurant in New Orleans around the turn of the century. The first thing you notice is the windows. The old fireplace has been removed and replaced with a large window of the park to give the dining room more natural light and to give guests better views of the park. Long blue velvet curtains adorn the windows. The chandeliers are the originals, as selected by Walt and Lillian when the restaurant opened in the late 60s. Then you notice the floor. It's checkered with dark brown and light brown wood squares with exquisite grain. The walls are a warm, buttery cream color, and hand-carved dark wood molding accents the wall and ceilings.
Then you spot the chairs. These are some elegant chairs. They have a reddish-brown stained frame in the French fauteuil style, but without arms. They have a cane back and white cushioned seats with blue floral patterns on them.
So before you sit down, you realize you better wash up. You head to the lavatory. If you're a lady, the ladies' lavatory has ornate fixtures and beautiful blue and white tile. The countertops are granite and the mirror is surrounded with a brass frame, intricately fashioned in the Rococo style. The sinks have bronze swans for faucets and wings for handles. There's a powder room area with a little French chair and big mirror. It's adorable. I just used the word adorable. I've been in that bathroom too many times. Wait, I've never been in that bathroom.
what? I just Googled pictures of the bathroom. which sounds even worse.
But. I'm just shocked that people took pictures of the bathroom. So anyway,
they're all over, especially the toilets.
It's
people really love like the Victorian style toilets.
It's amazing to see how many Disney like Disney park toilet pictures there are. I digress.
Really?
Yeah, it's insane. It's
where else would you take a picture of a toilet?
There's actually a podcast out there that we strongly suggest. It's called Communicore Weekly, and they actually do this special segment every once in a while that focuses on a new Disney bathroom and how awesome they are. So you should probably check out Communicore Weekly, folks. So these toilet stalls have granite walls, and the toilets themselves have French Victorian styling with a cane lid and back.
And the men's lavatory is adorned with masculine black granite, dark woods, and deep woodsy greens. The toilets have the tanks high above the bowl, and you old school pull a chain to flush the loo. The men's lavatories look like somewhere Hemingway might write, say, a Nobel Prize winning novel.
So you come back to your table washed up and ready to eat, and the dining experience of Club 33 sounds so world-class that you'd remember it for the rest of your life.
It's also important to note that the chefs at Club 33 are culinary-trained experts, so you can tell your server about your food allergies, your personal likes and dislikes, and the chef can make a dish on the fly especially for you. So go ahead, order that milk steak boiled over hard with a side of jelly beans.
By the way, folks, Chef Andrew Sutton is the head chef of Club 33. He was hand-selected by Disney based on his results curating the menu of the award-winning Napa Rose restaurant in Disneyland's Grand Californian Hotel. He's quoted in Disneyland News as saying, "I like a beautiful plate with great flavor." After all, the culinary arts are the only art forms that touch all of the senses. His food has rave reviews for being visually beautiful, smelling fantastic, and having exquisite flavor and texture.
And that's the level of wow that Club 33 shoots for. You can order a 5 or 6 course experience. The 5 course experience ends on a cheese course, and the 6 course experience includes a cheese course and a dessert course. Now, to be honest, I've never heard of most of the food or cooking processes on this menu.
Me either. I'm used to the grayish hot dog microwaved until warm category of food.
Me too. Stale crackers dipped in ketchup and hot water. But the menu at Club 33 has courses like Petite Angus Filet Mignon with tasso ham, with scalloped potatoes and collard green pesto.
Definitely French and Southern inspired, but taken to the next level. And how much does this food cost?
Prices aren't even on the menu, Al. It's probably one of those, if you have to ask, you can't afford it type of things. But if you time your dinner right, you can watch Fantasmic from the balcony of the restaurant. I can't think of a more magical way to spend an evening at Disney parks than that.
And that's one of the reasons the parks are so special. Even though Harry and I will probably never be Club 33 members, it's so neat to know that there will always be some undiscovered magic in the parks. And while you may never personally experience it, you feel a sense of satisfaction that it's there, and maybe one day you might experience the magic yourself. Whether it's Club 33, 1901, the Dream Suite, or just feeling like a kid again. Because when you wish upon a star, anything can happen.
No matter how much you think you know, adventure is out there, and it always will be, whether in Disney parks or in your own backyard. Anyway, folks, that's our show on Club 33. This is only a fraction of stuff that we found on the internet. We'd love to talk to someone who has been to Club 33 before or after the 2014 remodel. So if you or anyone you know would be interested in talking to us about it on the podcast, shoot us an email at thebacksideofwaterpodcast@gmail.com.
It would be also awesome if you would be able to maybe send over some pictures, because we would love to share those on our Instagram and Twitter page. Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic as well as iTunes. Folks, thanks so much for sticking with us. We really appreciate you listening to our show. Now, remember, as you exit, watch your head and watch your step.
And if you miss your step and hit your head, please don't disturb a celebrity.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Mr. Elton John, I love you.